Hey everyone, story time with Aussie Dad, and today we're going to read The Enchanted Wood by Enid Blyton. And we are up to chapter 19. Moonface gets into a fix. The children went over to the hens that Joe had seen. They were lovely ones, but a very peculiar colour, for their wings were pale green and the rest of their feathers were buttercup yellow. They had funny high voices and were very friendly indeed, for they came to press themselves round the children's legs like cats. "Do you suppose Mother would like hens this colour?" said Joe doubtfully.
"I don't see why not," said Bessie. "I think they are very pretty. The thing is, do they lay good eggs?"
One of the hens at once laid an egg. It was large and quite an ordinary colour. Bessie was pleased.
"There you are," she said. "If they lay eggs as big as this one, Mother will be very pleased."
"How many hens are there?" 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
"I wonder how we could take them all."
"Oh, they'll follow you," said Silky.
"Just like my clock follows me. Tell them you want them and they'll come."
"We want you to come with us, hens," said Joe at once, and the 7 green-winged birds came over to him and lined up in a row to follow the children. It was really very funny.
"Well, that's our hens found," said Bessie, please. "Now for the goat and the spade."
They wandered along looking at everything. It didn't matter what anyone wanted. They were sure to find it sooner or later. There were boats there, all kinds of dogs, shopping baskets, rings, toys, work baskets, and even such small things as thimbles.
"It's the strangest land I ever saw," said Joe.
"We look pretty strange too," said Fanny, giggling as she looked round and saw the 7 hens and the big clock padding along behind them.
"Oh, look, there's the dearest, prettiest white goat I ever saw. Do let's take her."
Sure enough, not far off was a lovely white nanny goat with soft brown eyes and perky ears. She looked quite ordinary, except for 2 blue spots by her tail.
"Little white goat, come with us," cried Fanny.
And the goat trotted up at once. It took its place behind the hens, but it didn't seem to like the clock, which bumped into it every now and again just to tease it.
"Don't do that, clock," said Silky.
"I hope your clock won't be a nuisance," said Bessie. "It's not behaving like a grandmother, is it?"
"It's a bit of a tease, I think."
"Now for the garden spade," said Joe, as he suddenly saw a fine strong spade hanging up on a fence with some other garden tools. "What about this one, girls? This looks strong enough for Father, doesn't it?" He took it down and dug in the ground with it. It was a splendid spade. Joe put it over his shoulder and the 4 of them grinned joyfully at each other.
"We've got everything we want," said Joe. "Come on, we'll go back to old Moonface and then we'll take some cakes for tea."
So, followed by the 7 hens, the white goat and the clock, the 4 of them made their way back to where they had left Moonface. But he wasn't sitting where they had left him. He was pulling at a lovely rug which was hanging from a tree. It was perfectly round with a hole in the middle.
"Hello, hello," yelled Moonface as he saw them. "Look what I've got. Just what I've always wanted for my round tree room. A round rug with a hole in the middle where the slippery slip begins. Fine."
"But Moonface, you said you'd watch to see that the land of Take What You Want kept by the faraway tree all right, didn't you?" said Silky anxiously. "Where is the hole that leads down to the tree?"
"Oh, it's somewhere over there," said Moonface, draping the rug round him and staggering off. "Come on, we're sure to find it."
But they didn't. It had gone. For the land of Take What You Want had moved away from the faraway tree.
"Moonface, it's too bad of you," said Joe anxiously. "You did promise."
Moonface looked worried and pale. He hunted about for the hole, but there was no hole to be seen. He began to shake with fright.
"I've got you all into a terrible fix," he said in a trembling voice. "Here we are, stuck in the land where there's everything we want. The only thing we want is to get away."
Everyone looked upset. This was too bad.
"I feel cross with you, Moonface," said Joe in a stern voice. "You said you'd keep guard, and you didn't. I don't think you're much of a friend."
"And I'm ashamed of you too, Moonface," said Silky, who had tears in her eyes. "We'll find someone to help us," said Moonface gloomily, and they all set off, followed by their hens, their goat, and the clock, which kept striking 4 o'clock. Nobody knew why. But now they found a very curious thing. There didn't seem to be anyone at all in the land of Take What You Want. All the gnomes, the pixies, the brownies, and the elves had gone. "They must have known the lamb was going to move off," said Moonface with a groan. "And they all slept down the ladder in time. Oh, why did I leave it?" They wandered all over the land, which was not really very large, but was more crowded with things and animals than anywhere they had ever seen.
"I can't think of what to do," said Silky. "It's true that there is everything here we want. We shan't starve, but it isn't the sort of place we want to live in forever."
They walked here and there, and then suddenly they came to something they hadn't noticed before. It was a large and shining aeroplane.
"Oh," said Joe, his eyes gleaming, "look at that! How I wish I could fly an aeroplane. Can you fly one, Moonface?"
Moonface shook his head. Silky shook hers too.
"That's no good then," said Joe with a sigh.
"I thought perhaps we might fly away from this land in the aeroplane." He climbed into the aeroplane and had a good look at it. There were 5 handles there. One had a label on that said up, another had a label that said down, a third had one that said straight on, and a 4th and 5th said to the right and to the left. Joe stared at the handles in excitement.
"I believe I could fly this aeroplane," he said. "I do believe I could. It looks quite easy."
"No, Joe, don't," said Bessie in alarm. But Joe had pressed the handle labelled up, and before anyone could say another word, the shining aeroplane had risen upwards with Joe, leaving the others staring open-mouthed on the ground below.
"Now Joe's gone," said Fanny, and burst into tears.
The aeroplane rose up and up. It circled round when Joe pressed the handle labelled to the right. It flew straight on when he pressed the 3rd handle, and it flew down when he pressed the down handle. It was just as easy as that. Joe flew neatly down on the ground and landed not too far away from the others. They rushed to him, shouting and laughing.
"Joe! Joe! Did you really fly it yourself?"
"Well, you saw me," said Joe, beaming at everyone and feeling most tremendously grand. "It's quite easy. Get in, everyone, and we'll fly off. Maybe we'll come to somewhere that Moonface knows if we fly long enough." They all got in. Bessie packed the 7 squawking hens at the back and sat the white goat on her knee. The spade went on the floor. The clock made a nuisance of itself because it wouldn't stay where it was put, but kept climbing over everybody's feet to look out the window. Silky began to wish she hadn't brought it.
"Ready?" asked Joe, pressing a handle marked up, and up they went. What a lovely feeling it was. They really couldn't help feeling excited.
Silky's clock got terribly excited too. It struck 29 without stopping.
"I shan't wind you up tonight if you don't keep quiet," said Silky suddenly, and that finished the clock.
It lay down in a corner and didn't say another ding or another dong.
"Where are we off to, I wonder," said Bessie,
but nobody knew.
Chapter 20. Off to Dame Slap School. Joe flew the aeroplane very well indeed. As soon as he was high enough, he pressed the straight on handle and the shining aeroplane flew forward. The children leaned over the side to see what they were flying over. They had soon passed the land of Take What You Want and came to a queer desolate country where no trees or grass grew and not a house was to be seen.
"That's a country of loneliness," said Moonface, peering over. "Don't land there, Joe. Fly on."
Joe flew on. Once he came to an enormous hill, and he had to press the handle marked up, or the aeroplane would have flown straight into it. It was really great fun. Joe had no idea that it was so easy to fly. The little white goat on Bessie's knee was as good as gold. It licked Bessie's cheek every now and then, just as if it were a dog. The hens were good and quiet, and the clock lay perfectly still. The aeroplane flew over a land of great towers and castles.
"Giant land," said Silky, looking in wonder at the enormous buildings. "I hope we don't land here."
"Rather not," said Joe, and he pressed the straight-on handle down still further, so that the aeroplane flew forward like a bird, faster and faster.
The children's hair streamed backwards, and as for Silky's mop of golden hair, it looked like a buttercup blown in the wind. Over the land of Lollipop they went, and over the country of Flop. And then the aeroplane began to make a funny noise. "Hello," said Joe. "What's wrong?" "I believe the aeroplane's tired," said Moonface. "It sounds out of breath." "Don't be silly, Moonface," said Joe. "Aeroplanes don't get out of breath." "This kind does," said Moonface. "Can't you hear it panting?" It certainly seemed as if the aeroplane was panting. It went. "Had we better go down and give it a rest?" said Joe. "Yes," said Moonface, peering over the side. "It seems safe enough. I don't know what this land is, but it looks quite ordinary. There's a big green house down below with an enormous garden. Perhaps you could land on that long, smooth lawn, Joe. We shouldn't get bumped then." "Right," said Joe, and pressed the handle mark down. And down they went, gliding smoothly. Bump! They reached the grass and ran along on the aeroplane's big wheels. It stopped and everyone got out, glad to stretch their legs. 10 minutes rest and the aeroplane will be ready to go off again, said Moonface, patting it. I wonder where we are, said Silky, looking round. Moonface gazed at the big green house in the distance and then he frowned. Oh my, he groaned. I know whose house that is. It's a school, and it belongs to old Dame Slap. All the wicked pixies and gnomes and fairies are sent there to learn to be better. Let's hope Dame Slap doesn't catch sight of us. Everyone looked about nervously. Suddenly, down a path came a tall old woman with large spectacles on her long nose and a big white bonnet on her hair. Moonface ran to the aeroplane.
Quick! He said, it's Dame Slap!
But the old lady was up to them before they could escape. Ah, she said, so here is another lot of naughty folk sent to me to cure. Come this way, please. We haven't been sent to you, said Joe. We landed here to give our aeroplane a rest. We're on our way home. Naughty boy to tell stories like that, said Dame Slap, and she gave poor Joe a sharp smack that made him jump and turn red. Come with me. All of you. There didn't seem anything else to do. Joe, Bessie, Fanny, Moonface, Silky, the white goat, and the seven hens all followed Dame Slap, looking very miserable. The clock wouldn't walk, so Silky had to carry it. Everyone felt very hungry. Joe pulled Dame Slap's sleeve timidly. Could we please have something to eat? He asked. Tea will be ready in a few minutes, said Dame Slap. Heads up, everyone! Don't stoop, little girl. The little girl was poor Fanny, who got a poke between her shoulders to make her stand up straight. Really, Dame Slap was not at all a nice person. It was very bad luck to have landed in her garden. But everybody cheered up a little at the thought of tea. They were taken into a large hall full of pixies and other fairy folk. They were all sitting down in rows at wooden tables, but they stood up when Dame Slap came into the room. Sit over there, said Dame Slap, pointing to an empty table. The children, Moonface, Silky, the goat, and the hens all took their places. The clock was stood at the end and looked very sulky. The children looked down the tables. Oh, what lovely buns. What gorgeous biscuits. What big jugs of lemonade. Dame Slap ran her eyes over the little folk standing at the tables. She frowned. Twinkle, come here, she said. A small pixie walked up to her. Haven't I told you to brush your hair properly for meal times? Said Dame Slap, and she slapped the pixie hard. Twinkle burst into tears. And there's Doodle over there with a torn tunic, said Dame Slap. Come here, Doodle. Doodle came and was slapped very hard indeed. Bessie and Fanny felt nervous and hoped that their hair and hands and dresses were clean and tidy. Sit, said Dame Slap, and everyone sat. Have a bun, said Joe, and passed Bessie and Fanny a plate of delicious-looking buns with jam in the middle. But what a shock for them. As soon as the buns touched their plates, they turned into round, hard pieces of stale bread. The children didn't dare to say a word. They saw that the same thing happened to everyone in the room except Dame Slap, who made a marvellous tea of buns, biscuits, and pieces of plum cake. The lemonade turned into water as soon as it was poured into the glasses.
It was dreadfully disappointing. In the middle of the meal, a gnome servant came in to say that someone wanted to speak to Dame Slap, and she went out of the room. And then, dear me, the children found that the little folk in the room were decidedly very bad indeed. They crowded round them and poked them and pinched them and made such rude remarks that Fanny began to cry. They made such a noise that nobody heard Dame Slap coming back again. My goodness, wasn't she angry? She clapped her hands together and made everyone jump nearly out of their skin. What's all this? She shouted in a very fierce voice. Form up in a line. March past me at once. To the children's dismay, everyone got a good hard slap as they passed the cross old lady. But when they passed her, she did not slap them, for she knew that they had been teased by the others. So they were very glad indeed, and felt a little more cheerful. Go to the schoolroom, said Dame Slap, when the last of the line had gone by. So to the schoolroom they all went, and took their places, even the little green-winged hens. Now, please answer the questions written on the blackboard, said Dame Slap. You've each got paper and pencil. Anyone putting down the wrong answers will be very sorry indeed. Joe looked at the questions on the board. He read them out to the others in great astonishment. If you take away three caterpillars from one bush, how many gooseberries will there be left? Add a pint of milk to a peck of peas and say what will be left over. If a train runs at 6 miles an hour and has to pass under four tunnels, put down what the guard's mother is likely to have for dinner on Sundays. Everybody gazed at the board in despair. Whatever did the questions mean? They seemed to be nonsense. I can't do any, said Moonface in a loud voice, and he threw down his pencil. It's all silly nonsense, said Joe, and he threw down his pencil too. The girls did the same, and Silky tore her paper in half. All the pixie and fairy folk stared at them in the greatest astonishment and horror. Indeed, said Dame Slap, suddenly looking twice as big as usual. If that's how you feel, come with me. Nobody wanted to go with her, but they found that they had to, for their legs walked them after Dame Slap without being made to. It was most extraordinary. Dame Slap led them to a small room and pushed them all in. Then she shut the door with a slam and turned the key in the lock. You'll stay there for 3 hours, and then I'll come and see if you are sorry, she said. This is awful, said Joe gloomily. She's no right to keep us here. We don't belong to her silly school. We haven't been naughty. It was just an accident that we came here. Well, what are we to do now? Said Silky, pushing back her golden hair. It seems as if we'll have to stay here for 3 hours and then say we're sorry and be slapped. I don't like it at all. Nobody liked it. They all sat on the floor and looked angry and miserable. If only they could escape from Dame Slap's silly old school. That's it for the Enchanted Wood for now. Stay tuned, take care, and you'll hear more from me very soon. All right, bye for now.